A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. A post-move debrief after hauling the last of his stuff 500 meters through urban Jerusalem. He bought two pieces of gear, a hand truck with pneumatic wheels, and a Stanley platform trolley. The hand truck did its job. 3-inch casters, no brakes, no handle. And the moment he loaded it up with 100 kilos of boxes and hit a curb, the whole thing jammed and pitched forward. He's asking what the right buy would have been. First time, for someone doing a real urban move over pavement and curbs.
That curb moment is the whole episode in one image. You're standing there at 11 at night, you've got 100 kilograms of your life stacked on a $45 piece of plastic and steel, and the casters just, they meet a 6-inch lip of concrete, and the entire load lurches forward. And in that half second, you realize you bought the wrong tool, and you're about to pay for it with your lower back.
Which is exactly the kind of realization that peaks in July, when half the leases in every city turn over and people are standing in the hardware store aisle staring at a wall of dollies with no idea what separates the $45 option from the $200 one.
The gap is wider than the price tag suggests. The Stanley STST 1500 is not a bad product on its own terms. It's rated for 150 pounds. It has a flat aluminum deck. The casters roll smoothly on a warehouse floor. For moving a potted plant across a showroom, it's fine. But the moment you take it outside onto a sidewalk with expansion cracks and curbs, it stops being a tool and starts being a frustration device.
A frustration device. I like that. The thing designed to reduce labor that somehow creates more of it.
The reason comes down to three specs that almost nobody checks when they're standing in the aisle. Wheel diameter and type. Brake mechanism, specifically whether you have a wheel lock, a swivel lock, or both. And handle ergonomics. Daniel Stanley failed on all three. 3-inch solid casters, no brakes of any kind, no handle, just a flat deck you have to push from the side while stooping. That's not a design oversight, that's a design philosophy. It's built for a world without curbs.
Which is not the world anyone actually lives in. Standard urban curbs are 4 to 6 inches. A 3-inch caster meets a 6-inch curb the way a shopping cart meets a staircase. It doesn't.
Here's the physics of why. A caster wheel can only climb an obstacle about 1/3 of its diameter without jamming. So a 3-inch caster can handle roughly a 1-inch bump. Anything taller and the wheel hits the face of the curb and stops dead. The momentum of the load keeps going. You're suddenly holding a lever with 100 kilos tipping away from you. To clear a 6-inch curb, you need wheels with at least an 8-inch diameter, and ideally pneumatic, air-filled, because the tire deforms and grips the edge of the curb instead of bouncing off it.
The wheel diameter alone makes the Stanley a non-starter for any move that involves leaving the building, which, for a move, is the entire point.
That's before we even talk about brakes. Daniel mentioned loading the trolley on a slight incline and having it roll away. The Stanley has no locking mechanism at all. You set it down on a slope, you let go to grab another box, and the whole thing drifts into traffic. A proper dual-lock caster gives you two things, a wheel brake that stops the wheel from rotating, and a swivel lock that stops the caster from pivoting. You need both. The wheel brake keeps it from rolling. The swivel lock keeps it from turning sideways and finding a new direction to roll. Together they add maybe $15 to $25 per caster. On a $200 dolly, that cost is built in. On a $45 one, it's the first thing they cut.
You're paying $45 for the privilege of chasing your own boxes down the street.
That's the real cost of cheap gear. It's not the $45. It's the hour you spend recovering a tip load, the back strain from stooping to push a deck with no handle. Daniel said he ended up doing a week of trips back and forth. That's the kind of timeline you get when the tool fights you on every curb.
The handle thing is interesting because it seems like a luxury until you actually use a dolly without one. A platform trolley with no handle forces you into what is essentially a permanent stoop. You're pushing from the side, bent over, your spine in flexion, your arms doing work your legs should be doing. Add a telescoping handle that extends to waist height. 36 to 42 inches, and suddenly you are standing upright, pushing with your body weight, your spine in a neutral position. The difference in fatigue after 2 hours is enormous.
It's the difference between moving and physical therapy. The clinical term is cumulative load. You don't feel it on the first trip, you feel it on the 15th. And by then, the damage has already started.
Daniel's question is really, what should he have bought? The answer, broadly, is a convertible hand truck that folds into a platform trolley. Something in the Magliner or Wesco class. 10-inch pneumatic tires. Dual locking casters. A proper telescoping handle. 600-pound capacity in hand truck mode. Around 450 in platform mode. The price tag is somewhere between $200 and $300, which sounds steep until you compare it to the cost of two separate pieces of gear that each do half the job, plus the chiropractor visit.
The Magliner convertible is the reference design here. It's been the standard for delivery drivers and moving crews for decades. Aluminum frame, so it's not absurdly heavy, around 30 pounds. The Gemini Junior convertible is the smaller sibling, same specs, slightly lighter. Wesco makes the Maxi Mover, a direct competitor at a similar price point. All of them share the same philosophy, build it for pavement, not for the warehouse floor.
That philosophy shows up in every spec. The 10-inch pneumatics on a Magliner will roll over a 6-inch curb without you even thinking about it. The tire compresses, grips, and climbs. The dual locking casters mean you can bark the thing on a slope and it stays put. The handle in platform mode means you're pushing like a shopping cart, not like a medieval peasant hauling a sled.
Which brings us to the other thing Daniel mentioned, the construction bag hack. His wife picked up those heavy-duty contractor bags, 3 mil thick, 42 gallon, and he just plopped them on the platform trolley for dumpster runs. That's genuinely clever. It turns a rigid dolly into a soft goods hauler. But it only works if the deck has a lip or an edge to keep the bag from sliding, and if you can strap it down. So you need a dolly with tie-down points or at least a frame you can hook a ratchet strap around. The Stanley has a flat deck with nothing to grab. The Magliner has a frame. Small detail, massive usability difference.
It's the kind of thing you don't know you need until you're watching a bag of your belongings slide off the back of a trolley at midnight on a Jerusalem sidewalk.
That's the urban context Daniel mentioned. Moving at night in a city means pedestrians, cyclists, scooters. A dolly with hard casters is loud. Every crack in the pavement is a clatter that wakes up the neighborhood. Pneumatic tires are quieter. A brake means you can stop safely at a crosswalk without the load drifting. These aren't luxury features. They're basic safety equipment when you're sharing the road.
The through line here is that the $45 option isn't actually cheaper. It's just deferred cost. You pay less up front, and more in time, frustration, and physical strain. The $200 option pays for itself on the first move.
If you only move once every 5 years, you don't even need to buy. Tool rental places stock industrial-grade convertibles for $25 to $40 a day. You get the Magliner experience without the Magliner price tag. The rental units are almost always the real thing. 10-inch pneumatics, dual locking casters, proper handles. Because rental places don't stock gear that breaks on the first curb, it's not worth the customer service calls.
Which is its own kind of market signal. The gear that rental companies trust is the gear worth using. If they won't stock the Stanley, there's a reason.
The reason is exactly what Daniel experienced. 3-inch casters meeting a 6-inch curb. The sound of 100 kilos pitching forward. The moment you realize you bought the wrong tool and the move just got longer.
Let's dig into the mechanics of why that moment happens, starting with the wheels, because that's where the whole design philosophy splits.
Daniel Stanley had 3-inch solid casters and they failed at the first curb. But let's get specific about why, because the number on the package doesn't tell you the real story. A caster's ability to climb an obstacle is a function of its diameter. The wheel can only roll over something about 1/3 its own height. 3-inch caster, 1-inch bump. That's it. Anything taller, and the wheel face plants into the obstacle. The axle becomes a pivot point, and your load becomes a projectile.
Which is a physics lesson you don't want to learn while holding 100 kilos of your wife's book collection.
Standard urban curbs are 4 to 6 inches, so you need a wheel with at least 8 inches of diameter to clear a 4-inch curb, and 10 inches is better for 6. That's not a preference, that's geometry. the Magliner and Wesco convertibles, both ship with 10-inch pneumatic tires as standard. They don't even offer a 3-inch option because nobody who uses these professionally would buy one.
The first question anyone should ask when looking at a dolly is, what's the wheel diameter? If the answer is under 8 inches, you're buying an indoor tool.
Diameter is only half the wheel story. The other half is whether the tire is solid or pneumatic. Solid tires transmit every vibration directly into the load and into your hands. Every crack in the pavement, every pebble. Pneumatic tires have an inner tube filled with air. They deform around obstacles. They absorb shock. On a rough sidewalk, the difference in vibration damping is night and day. You can push a loaded Magliner over cracked pavement and the boxes barely jostle. Push the same load on solid casters and you'll hear everything rattling.
Daniel mentioned doing a lot of these runs at night. Hard casters on pavement at midnight. That's a noise complaint waiting to happen. Pneumatics are quieter by a wide margin.
They're also better at gripping. A pneumatic tire compresses against the edge of a curb and gets a bite. A solid caster just bounces off. So you're getting three things from the tire choice: climbability, vibration damping, and traction. All three matter. All three are missing from the $45 option.
Which brings us to the second hidden spec, brakes. And this is where the language gets confusing, because locking caster can mean two completely different things.
A wheel lock stops the wheel from rotating. That's the basic version. You step on a little tab, it presses against the wheel, and the dolly can't roll forward or backward, but it can still pivot. The caster can swivel sideways, and if you're on a slope, the whole thing can still drift in an arc. A swivel lock stops the caster from pivoting at all. It locks the wheel in a fixed direction. You want both. A dual lock caster gives you a pedal that engages both locks at once. The wheel can't roll, and the caster can't turn. The dolly is planted.
Daniel Stanley had neither, so loading it on any kind of incline was a two-person job, one to hold the trolley, one to stack the boxes, which defeats the entire purpose of a dolly.
A dolly without brakes isn't a labor-saving device. It's a labor redistribution device. You're not doing less work, you're just doing different work, holding the thing steady instead of carrying boxes. The dual lock caster adds maybe $20 to the manufacturing cost. On a $200 Magliner, it's standard. On a $45 Stanley, it's the first component they delete to hit the price point.
The third spec is the one that seems optional until you've done 15 trips without it, the handle. Daniel's platform trolley had no handle at all, just a flat deck. To move it, you bend over, grab the edge, and push from the side. Your spine is in flexion. Your arms are doing the work your legs should be doing. After 2 hours, your lower back is screaming.
The biomechanics here are well understood. When you push a load with your spine in a neutral position, standing upright, hands at waist height, the force transfers through your hips and legs. Your biggest muscle groups do the work. When you stoop, the force transfers through your lumbar spine. Your erector spinae muscles fatigue quickly, and once they fatigue, the load shifts to the passive structures, the discs, the ligaments. That's where injuries happen.
A telescoping handle that extends to 36 or 42 inches isn't a luxury. It's the difference between moving boxes and moving into a physical therapy clinic.
The Magliner convertible has this built into the design. In hand truck mode, you've got the full upright handle. In platform mode, the same handle folds down and extends horizontally. You're pushing like a shopping cart, standing fully upright. The Wesco Maxi Mover does the same thing. It's not a coincidence that both industrial grade options solve this problem the same way. It's just good ergonomics.
If you're standing in the hardware store, the three things to check are wheel diameter, 8 inches minimum, pneumatic, brakes, dual lock casters, wheel, and swivel. Handle extends to at least waist height. If any of those three is missing, you're not looking at a moving tool. You're looking at what you called a frustration device.
Here's the part that trips people up. Those three specs sound like nice-to-haves. They sound like the kind of thing you can compromise on to save $150, but they're not. They're the difference between a tool that works and a tool that creates more problems than it solves. Daniel's week of back-and-forth trips, that's what compromising on the specs actually costs you, and back pain.
Which is the real answer to the question Daniel's asking. What does good enough actually cost? It costs about $200, because below that, you're not buying a dolly, you're renting a problem.
That brings us to the weight rating question. because Daniel mentioned noticing the price divide between Home Depot gear and industrial aluminum stuff just by looking at the numbers. 150 pounds on the Stanley versus 600 on the Magliner. That gap looks like marketing math, but it's actually telling you something real about how the thing is built.
The number on the box isn't the number you get on pavement, is it?
No, and this is where most buyers get misled. That 150 pound rating on the Stanley? That's a static load on the smooth warehouse floor. The moment you start rolling over cracked pavement, you introduce dynamic loading. Every bump is a spike. A 100 kilo load hitting a crack at walking speed can momentarily exert double its static weight on the casters. The industry rule of thumb is that real-world capacity on pavement is about 60% of the listed number. So a 150 pound dolly is realistically a 90 pound dolly. Daniel was loading 100 kilos, 220 pounds, onto something that could handle maybe 90 in motion.
He was more than double the functional limit before he even reached the first curb.
That's why the casters jammed. They weren't just too small, they were overloaded. The axle bearings on those 3-inch casters are tiny, maybe 5 millimeters. Put 220 pounds on four of them, hit a bump, and the instantaneous load on the leading casters spikes to well over 100 pounds each. The bearing binds. The wheel stops. The load keeps going.
Which makes the 600-pound Magliner rating a different animal entirely. Even at 60%, you're getting 360 pounds of real-world capacity. That's 160 kilos. Plenty of headroom for a stack of Euroboxes.
The headroom matters because it's not just about whether the dolly collapses, it's about whether it rolls smoothly. An overloaded caster fights you on every rotation. You're pushing harder, fighting friction from binding bearings. A properly rated dolly with 10-inch pneumatics and proper axle bearings. You can push 200 pounds with one hand. That's the difference that the price tag buys you. It's not about strength, it's about effort.
The weight rating isn't a safety number, it's a misery index. Below the real-world threshold, every trip is a workout. Above it, the dolly does the work.
That connects back to why so many platform trolleys skip brakes and handles. It's not that the manufacturers don't know these things matter, it's that the $45 price point forces a set of decisions. To hit that number at retail, the manufacturing cost has to be around $15. At $15, you can't afford pneumatic tires. You can't afford dual-lock casters. You can't afford a telescoping handle. You get a flat aluminum deck, four cheap casters, and a Stanley logo. That's the entire product.
It's a dolly-shaped object. It looks like the thing. It occupies the same shelf space, but it's designed for a use case that doesn't match what the buyer is actually going to do with it.
The use case it is designed for, light loads on smooth floors, is what you'd find in a retail stockroom or a trade show booth. Not a sidewalk, not a move. The packaging doesn't say indoor only, but the 3-inch casters say it louder than any warning label could.
Which is why the convertible design Daniel mentioned makes so much sense for urban moves. You're getting one tool that handles two completely different jobs. The hand truck mode for stairs and tight corners, the platform mode for flat runs of boxes, and the engineering that makes that possible. The folding frame, the locking hinge, the dual-purpose handle. That's not something you can fake at the $45 price point. It requires actual aluminum extrusions, proper pivot joints, and a frame that doesn't develop play after six uses.
The Magliner Gemini Junior Convertible is the case study here. It's rated for 600 pounds as a hand truck, 450 as a platform. The hinge mechanism is a steel pin through an aluminum knuckle. Simple, serviceable, and it doesn't wobble. The handle telescopes out in both configurations. The whole thing weighs about 30 pounds, which is heavier than a dedicated platform truck, but lighter than owning two separate tools. And for an urban move with stairs, that hand truck mode is essential. You can't take a platform trolley upstairs. The load sits flat and the casters catch on every step.
The convertible solves the stairs problem and the curb problem in one frame. And the price, somewhere between $220 and $300, reflects the fact that you're buying a tool that was engineered, not just assembled from a parts catalog.
There's one more thing Daniel's experience highlights that sounds minor until you're actually doing the move. The Stanley's deck is completely flat with no lip, nothing to hook a strap around, nothing to keep a contractor bag from sliding. The Magliner and Wesco convertibles have a frame. The aluminum rails that form the hand truck structure are still there in platform mode, creating a natural edge. You can loop a ratchet strap through the frame and cinch down a bag or a stack of boxes in 10 seconds. That's not a feature they added. It's a byproduct of good design.
If wheels and brakes are the foundation, the next question is, do you want one tool or two? And Daniel's instinct at the end of his message was exactly right. He would have been better off concentrating his spend on a single convertible instead of buying two pieces of gear that each did half the job.
The convertible form factor sounds like a compromise. The Swiss Army knife that does neither job well. But that's a reputation earned by cheap knockoffs, not by the industrial aluminum designs. A bad convertible is worse than two separate tools. The hinge develops play after a dozen cycles. The locking mechanism slips under load. But the Magliner and Wesco convertibles are a different category entirely. The hinge is a steel pin through a machined aluminum knuckle. It locks in both positions with an audible click. It doesn't wobble. And the reason it works is that they're not trying to be clever. They're just building a hand truck that happens to fold flat.
The weight penalty for that folding mechanism is real, but manageable. A dedicated platform truck might weigh 15 pounds. A convertible is 25 to 35. But you're saving the weight of a second tool entirely. So the net weight in your closet is lower, even if the single unit is heavier to carry upstairs by itself.
For an urban move with stairs, that hand truck mode isn't optional. It's the only way to move boxes vertically. A platform trolley on stairs is a disaster. The casters catch on every step, the load sits flat and wants to slide backward, and you're basically deadlifting the whole stack. In hand truck mode, the load tilts back against the frame, the weight transfers to the wheels, and you're just balancing and pulling. The stair climbing technique is well established. You lean it back, find the balance point, and bump it up one step at a time. The wheels do the lifting. Your arms just guide.
Then, when you're on the flat, you fold it down and suddenly you're moving three or four boxes at once instead of two. That mode switch saves trips. On a 500-meter move, the difference between 8 trips and 15 is the difference between finishing at 10 p.m. and finishing at 2 in the morning.
Which brings us to the night operations piece Daniel mentioned. Moving at night in a city is a specific skill set. You're sharing the sidewalk with pedestrians, cyclists, the occasional electric scooter doing 20 miles an hour in silence. Visibility is your first problem. Daniel's solution, strapping a headlamp to the top box, is cheap and effective. Reflective tape on the load is another dollar's worth of insurance, but the bigger safety feature is the brake. At a crosswalk, you need to stop and wait. Without a brake, you're holding the load on an incline with your body. With a dual lock caster, you step on the pedal and the dolly is a stationary object. You can look at your phone. You can check for traffic. You're not fighting the load.
The noise factor. Hard casters on pavement at midnight. That's a percussive instrument. Every crack is a snare hit. Pneumatic tires are muffled. They roll over the same cracks with a soft thump instead of a clatter. If you're moving past apartment windows at 11 p.m., that's the difference between being a considerate neighbor and being the reason someone calls building management.
Daniel also mentioned his wife's construction bag idea, and I want to spend a moment on that because it's one of the smartest low-cost moving hacks I've heard. Heavy-duty contractor bags, 3 mil thickness or thicker, typically 42 or 55 gallon, cost about $5 a bag in a pack of 10. You load them with soft goods, clothing, bedding, trash for the dumpster. They conform to whatever's inside. And when you plop one on a platform trolley, it molds to the deck. Nothing rolls off because the bag itself is shapeless. It just settles.
Only if the deck has something to keep the bag from sliding sideways. A completely flat deck with no lip, like the Stanley's, and that bag is migrating the moment you hit a bump.
The Magliner's frame creates a natural edge. The aluminum rails that form the hand truck structure are still there in platform mode. You can loop a ratchet strap through the frame, cinch it down over the bag, and suddenly you've got 80 pounds of loose household items secured to a dolly with a single strap. Total cost, $50 for a pack of 10 bags plus $200 for the dolly. That's a moving system for $250 that handles everything boxes can't.
It's the kind of hack that makes you wonder why anyone buys rigid totes for soft goods. The bag weighs nothing, costs nothing, and stores flat when you're done.
Let me distill all of this into something you can actually use when you're standing in the aisle staring at a wall of dollies. One number to check first. One number that predicts whether the thing will work or fail on the first curb. 8 inches minimum, pneumatic. If the casters are smaller than 6 inches, the dolly is an indoor tool. Daniel's 3-inch Stanley casters prove this. They couldn't clear a standard curb, and standard curbs are 4 to 6 inches everywhere. The geometry is unforgiving. A wheel can climb about 1/3 its diameter. 8 inches gets you over a typical curb. 10 inches is better. Every industrial convertible ships with 10-inch pneumatics as the default. That's not an upsell. That's the minimum viable spec for pavement.
Pneumatic, not solid. The air in the tire is doing real work. Absorbing shock, gripping the curb edge, keeping the noise down at midnight.
That's the one number filter. If the wheel diameter is under 8 inches, put it back on the shelf. You're done. You've just saved yourself a week of misery.
Next, the two feature checklist. These are the things that separate a tool from a frustration device.
Locking casters, and I mean dual lock, wheel brake plus swivel lock. Not one or the other. You need the wheel to stop rolling and the caster to stop pivoting. Without both, the dolly will find a way to drift on any incline. Daniel learned this loading his Stanley on a slight slope, no locks at all, so the thing just wandered off. A dual lock caster is a pedal you step on, it plants the dolly. Loading and unloading becomes a one-person job.
The second feature, a handle that extends to at least 36 inches, waist height for most adults. If you're stooping to push, your lower back is absorbing every bump and every pound. A telescoping handle changes the leverage entirely. You're pushing upright, using your legs, your spine, and neutral. The McGliner and Wesco convertibles both have this. The $45 options don't.
Those two features, dual lock casters and a proper handle, are the difference between a dolly you use and a dolly you curse at. If either one is missing, you're not saving money. You're deferring the cost to your back and your schedule.
The filter is 8-inch pneumatics, dual lock casters, telescoping handle. And if the dolly passes all three, you're looking at a real tool.
Which brings us to the budget. Expect to spend between $180 and $300 for a convertible hand truck that will last through multiple moves. The Magliner convertible sits around $220. The Wesco Maxi Mover is closer to $280. Both give you 600 pounds in hand truck mode, around 450 as a platform, 10-inch pneumatics, dual locking casters, and a proper handle in both configurations. That's the buy once cry once tear.
The $45 to $80 options are disposable. They'll work for one light move on smooth floors, maybe moving a dorm room across a carpeted hallway. Then the casters develop play, the deck starts to warp, and the thing gathers dust in a closet until the next move, when you discover it's somehow gotten worse just sitting there.
The plastic bushings in cheap casters degrade even without use. The grease separates. The bearings develop flat spots from sitting under load. So when you pull it out 3 years later, it's actually worse than when you put it away. That's the hidden cost of the disposable tier. It's not even good at being disposable.
If you only move once every 5 years, here's the real cheat code. Don't buy anything. Rent a convertible dolly from a tool rental place. $25 to $40 a day. The rental units are almost always industrial grade, Magliner or equivalent, because rental companies don't stock gear that breaks on the first curb. It's not worth the customer service calls. You walk in, you check for 10-inch pneumatics and dual locking casters. You pay your $30, and you get the premium experience without the premium price tag.
That's the market signal. Rental inventory is a filter. If the pros won't stock it, you shouldn't buy it. And the pros stock Magliner and Wesco because those are the tools that survive 100 moves a year and come back ready for the next one.
The decision tree is simple. If you move often or you want the tool in your closet for the next decade, spend $200 to $300 on a convertible. If you move rarely, rent one for $30 and give it back. The only wrong move is buying the $45 Stanley and pretending it's going to handle pavement. One last thought before we wrap, and it's about where this category of equipment goes next. Daniel's move was 500 meters. That's not a cross-country relocation. It's a walk down the street. And yet, the gear available to him was either warehouse equipment pretending to be outdoor gear, or industrial delivery tools designed for truck-to-storefront runs. Neither was built for what he was actually doing. An apartment-to-apartment move under a kilometer, on foot, over urban pavement.
The last meter problem. Logistics companies have solved the last mile, getting packages from the distribution center to the door. But nobody's solved the last meter, getting a household from one apartment to another when the distance is walkable, but the load is heavy. The equipment exists, but it's not packaged or marketed for that use case. You have to discover it yourself, usually after buying the wrong thing first.
With e-commerce and urban living converging the way they are, you'd think someone would design for this. A dolly that's light enough to carry upstairs, rated for pavement, with a brake you can engage while holding a box in the other hand. A handle that adjusts for different heights because two people are sharing it. Maybe even integrated lights for those night runs Daniel was doing.
Integrated lights would be trivial to add. A couple of LED strips on the frame, a small rechargeable battery in the handle, $20 in components. But nobody's doing it because the market is split between the $45 disposable tier and the $200 industrial tier, and neither one is thinking about the person moving apartments on foot at 11 p.m.
That's the open question I want to leave with listeners. Is there a new category waiting to be invented here? The last meter moving tool. Designed for pavement, designed for stairs, designed for the reality that more and more people are living in walkable cities and moving between apartments that are 10 minutes apart on foot. Because right now, the best option is to buy industrial delivery gear and adapt it. But it's not the same as something purpose-built.
If you've got a moving gear story, a dolly that saved your back, or one that broke on the first curb and left you standing in the street at midnight wondering what went wrong, send it in. We want to hear the horror stories and the wins. The Stanley that betrayed you. The Magliner that earned its price tag on the first trip. The construction bag hack that made the whole thing work.
Email the show@myweirdprompts.com. We read everyone, and honestly, moving stories are the kind of thing where the details make the whole thing sing. The specific curb, the specific bag, the specific moment you realize you'd bought the wrong tool.
Next episode, we're going deeper on the economics of all this, the hidden costs of DIY moving that nobody budgets for. And here's a hint, it's not the truck rental. It's the things you don't see coming until you're 3 days in and wondering where your money went.
This has been my Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for making this show sound like a show.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In 1691, French Jesuit missionaries in the Gobi Desert documented that local beekeepers measured the angle of a bee's waggle dance relative to the sun at 32 degrees, which, if converted to modern GPS coordinates, would direct the hive to a patch of wildflowers approximately 4 kilometers northwest of the monastery, a distance a foraging bee could cover in roughly 12 minutes if it weren't stopping to pollinate. The bees were, by all accounts, extremely punctual.
The bees had better navigation than my moving plan.
I have so many questions, none of which I'm going to ask. Find us at myweirdprompts.com. See you next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.